When people talk about settlements, it can conjure up a frontier, almost Wild West-like existence of caravans and tents and a subsistence-level existence. But Malay Adumim is nothing like that. It's a dormitory town of Jerusalem, with more than 40,000 people living here. There are modern apartment blocks, supermarkets, pharmacies, doctor surgeries, businesses and bakeries.
We are located 20 minutes away from Jerusalem. And from here, in a very clear day, we can see Jordan. You see the mountain there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from here, we see Jerusalem.
Maya showed me the panoramic views from her balcony overlooking this settlement, or a yeshuv in Hebrew, which began more than 35 years ago.
It's a specific neighborhood that it's a religious pocket of Malay Adumim, of people modern Orthodox. The rest is mixed Orthodox and not Orthodox.
Maya asked us not to disclose her full name or that of her family members because she fears reprisals, implicitly from those Palestinian Arabs who she believes for the most part do not want peace.
We pull out of Gaza and we got a whole terror country there, literally, that they're launching rockets on us. And the feeling is that the harder we try, the more they establish a terror and they dig under the ground and they try so hard to destroy us. I don't think there'll ever be peace.
Yeah, they have a certain accent. She has my New York accent.
All right. Yeah. Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Unlike Meir, her husband, Danny, believes that a two-state solution may provide an answer, however unsatisfactorily, in the continuing conflict with the Palestinians, particularly over those settlements on Arab land now occupied by an estimated 700,000 or so Israelis like him in the years since the 1967 Six-Day War, known as the Occupied Territories.
I do think that there has to be some give and take, but it just doesn't seem like we're ever going to get to the final negotiations. There are so many other hurdles that we have to go before then. I definitely do not think...
Would you trust them to sign a contract with them? To sign any paper? Would you trust them to give them and to sign a paper? Would you trust that they're going to stand behind that paper?
Probably not, but if they have their own country, then if they attack us, it gives us a much more legitimate reason to go attack them. Right now, who are we going to attack? There's nobody to attack. But if all of a sudden we give them a country, wherever that is.
From who? From the world that never gave us legitimate? Who are we going to have legitimate from who? We've never been given legitimate to exist here.
If there's going to be another country, at least, like any country in the world, they have the right to defend themselves and we'd be able to attack that other country.
From Malay Adumim, we're heading northwards through what's mostly mountainous, undeveloped land of rocky outcrops and olive trees from the area outside Jerusalem, known by Israelis as Judea, to Samaria in the West Bank, and towards a much smaller and much more recently developed settlement.
Again, for security reasons, I was asked not to name this particular settlement, which is minuscule in comparison to Malay Adumim, really little more than a cluster of caravans and mobile homes with no amenities. On all sides, it's surrounded by Palestinian Arab villages. Even the Israeli government has yet to give the place its formal approval, although settlers here say that's only a question of time. I came here to talk to Danny's and Meir's two daughters, Efrat and Etarat, both in their 20s, and both are married to soldiers. Efrat, who's 20, is clear why she's come to live in this hilltop hamlet settlement.
I really believe that when we live here, it's a statement. Israel is our land. In the Bible, it's written that we are supposed to live here, and part of it is also a statement that we're fighting back. This is my war against the people who's trying to kill us is living in the settlements and state that this is my land.
This is my girl's bedroom.
Oh right. Oh, you got a bedroom here.
I have two girls.
How old are they?
Efrat's 26-year-old sister Atarat, a PhD student, showed me around her tiny two-bedroom mobile home. Like her father Danny, she's prepared to think about a two-state solution, even if that means she would end up living in a new country of Palestine.
I don't see it as a war or as a statement. I see it as an act of peace, you might find it ironically.
Well, there are people who think that the settlements are the part of the reason or the main reason for all the problems you have.
Well, I disagree, because until 1967, there were no settlements. And there was terror attacks. There was no peace. So I believe both sides need to respect each other. We are not going anywhere as much as they're not going anywhere. I would love to talk to my Arab neighbors and get to know them. I don't think anyone should be evacuated from their house, not us and not the Arabs. And we should find a way to live by each other.
But for a few Israelis, there's no compromise possible. Only evacuation of the settlements in the occupied territories, so believes the columnist Gideon Levy, who writes for Haaretz, Israel's oldest daily newspaper, and sometimes one of its staunchest critics.
No one can exaggerate about the role, the fatal role of the settlements in any kind of development between Israel and Palestine. The settlements are the biggest victory, the biggest achievement of Zionism after the establishment of the country. They were established with one main target, and this was to prevent any kind of division of the land of Israel, to prevent any kind of a peaceful settlement, to prevent in any way a two-state solution.
The issue of settlements has seemed intractable for some time, especially now against a background of increased violence. And then there are the land appropriations, carried out with the support of the government and the anger of the Palestinians, and to the exasperation of the international community.